Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
You survived the most famous serial killer since Jack the Ripper. The 5-year anniversary is coming up. I think a lot of people would really like to hear from you after all this time. I want to know what it's like to be in the presence of that kind of evil. What goes through your brain when he's close enough to you? You feel his breath.
It's only an excerpt of the trailer of a new movie. I'm scared already. It is called Terrifier 3. It was screening in the UK this week. Cinema goers were apparently left traumatised with walkouts and one person even vomiting in the cinema over this movie. But why do we put ourselves through such terror? I have to say, I've never been a fan of horror movies, but I want to find out what it is that attracts people. As I said, Terrifier 3 has left some fans traumatised. Just the trailer, I watched the trailer earlier on, and the trailer is a difficult watch, so I can imagine what the full movie is like. Why do we do it? Rory Cashin is entertainment journalist, and he joins me on the line. Rory, tell us about this film. I have to be honest, I didn't realise that there was a Terrifier series. This is Terrifier 3, which means there was 1 and 2. Have you seen any of them?
I have been lucky enough to see the first two, yes. So Terrifier, the first Terrifier came out in 2016, and it had a budget of something like $50,000, so it was absolutely nothing. But they got very impressive visual effects and special effects artists working on the movies. So all of the kind of stalk and chase and kill scenes were very, very impressive visually to look at, and the makeup and all that stuff involved, and it made it seem very, very realistic. At the time, it didn't get much attention, but it managed to get a huge cult following when it hit like video on release at home and it hit all the streaming services. So by 2022, we got Terrifier 2, which had a slightly bigger budget. And at the time, I remember it didn't release in this part of the world. It released in America almost exclusively. And that one had a budget of $250,000. And it became this kind of phenomenon because people were almost testing each other to go to see the film to see how much of it they could endure, because it is spectacularly violent. If you're into that kind of the term for it is gornography. It's gory movies that people might enjoy, like Hostel or Cabin Fever. If you're into that kind of horror, this is kind of the pinnacle for it, because again, the murder scenes in Terrifier 2 are so outrageously over the top that I remember when the second one came out, there was the same similar reports of people walking out, people getting sick, people passing out because of how violent it was. And because that one proved to be so popular, here we are now with Terrifier 3, which the first two are set on Halloween and the third one is set at Christmas.
And what's the premise? Is it a movie about a bad guy, or what's going on here?
Yeah, like it's very, very simple. So at the core of it, there is this character called Art the Clown, who is an evil clown who, for no real given reason, just decides to start killing people in the most inventive and like gloriously over the top way that he can imagine. And that's kind of it. It's got that kind of 1980s feel where, you know, like Michael Myers or Jason would just stalk teenagers and kill them. But the difference is in this is that the violence level is that over the top that if you are at all squeamish, I cannot tell you enough to avoid these films, because they are absolutely not for you.
Horror movies generally aren't for me, and I just don't like them. I've never really have. But you're saying that these movies are so severe, I suppose, that if you're not into horror or if you're easily scared, then avoid this at all costs.
Yeah, like I think everyone has maybe a type of horror that they can or can't do. Like there'd be someone who's specifically afraid of home invasion thrillers, or they'd be specifically afraid of ghost stories, or in this case, they'd be specifically afraid of particularly gory, nasty movies. So if that's the kind of horror film you can't handle, absolutely stay away from it. But if it's something that, you know, previously within this horror genre you have enjoyed, then it doesn't get any gorier than these movies.
Okay. Right. Dr. Sarah Cleary joins me on the other line. And Sarah, you hold a PhD in horror. I never heard of such a thing. Tell me what that is.
Hi, Adrian. Thanks for having me on. So basically, I decided, a massive, massive fan of horror, having done an MA in popular literature and culture, I decided to dedicate about 5 years of my life to actually looking at the effects or the alleged effects of horror film on children over 100 years. And I've just published my book, which is based on the thesis there, The Myth of Harm, which I was happily ever able to come to the conclusion that after 5 years of research and a lot of films, there's actually no real evidence to suggest that horror films affect children in any shape or form. So that's what I spent 5 years
dedicating my life to. Most of these movies, and in fact, this particular movie that we're talking about, Terrifier 3, would obviously have an 18 cert, so you're not going to have kids at it. Tell me then, Sarah, what is it that attracts us to gore and horror and being scared out of our wits?
So I think it works on many, many different layers, and it works, and there's a different kind of reason for why people are attracted to these type of films. The first thing I think I'd wanted to state is I'd always be a little bit careful of when the pure people start sending out letters and press releases about how gory or how terrifying or how many people are vomiting and walking out, because it is the oldest trick in the book that horror films have been doing since about even before 1931, but James Whale's Frankenstein in 1931 and Dracula, Todd Browning's Dracula in 1931, very much kind of set the precedent. They used to have ambulances running outside of the theatres, more as a promo stunt than anything else, but this suggests that this was going to be the scariest thing you've ever seen. So I'm always a little bit dubious of those stories, because kind of as Rory was saying, you don't go to these type of films if you don't have the stomach for them. So I'd be
so would that not stand to reason then that they up their game each time and make it more and more gory?
Absolutely, because horror, whether it's in this genre, which is kind of in the slasher, slightly camp, black comedy subgenre, or whether it's a straight-laced horror, or whether it's a psychological thriller, whatever the genre is, horror is all about testing limits. So whether you want to go and experience gore on a level, whether you want to go and probe the deepest, darkest taboos within humanity, whether you want to have that ride that people always talk about when you go on a roller coaster in which it's nothing but, jump shock after jump shock. It's all about testing limits, both the psychological limits and the visceral limits that people have. And we enjoy it because it's a safe space. The world is awful and cruel and not very kind. So when we are exposed to films, whether it's gore like this or psychological terror, it's a safe space in which to engage in these sort of fear experiences. And you must remember that fear isn't necessarily a bad thing. Fear is what keeps us, you know, from being squashed on the road. We look left and right. Fear stops us putting our hand in the fire. But also there's a subconscious and visceral, titillating thrill that we get from fear. If you think the very first game that you play as a baby, I have an 11-month-old myself now, and we play this game a lot, is Boo. Mammy hides behind her hands, and then where's Mammy gone? Uh-oh, Mammy's gone. No, she's back. Boo.
Yeah,
and he screams laughing at this game. Why? Because for that brief second, Mammy's gone. It's a titillation experience. So it works on many different levels, but primarily it's this aspect of pushing limits, pushing visceral limits, pushing psychological limits, just to see how far we can actually go.
Okay, now I'm joined on the other line by psychiatrist Brendan Kelly. Brendan, good afternoon and welcome to Lunchtime Live.
Thank you very much.
Why is it, Brendan, that some people, and I include myself in this, don't like horror, don't like being scared, don't like what those movies produce?
Well, I'm in the same boat as you, Adrian. There isn't the faintest possibility that I will go to see this film or the two that came before it. And it makes sense why some people like it. It is, as has been said, a safe space to experience this adrenaline rush and to confront fears. But maybe some of us don't have that need. Maybe some of us don't have that. We meet these needs in other ways. So, for example, one of the needs these meet is a sense of control, that we can feel fear in a safe environment, and this gives us a feeling of mastery or control that we might not have in other areas of our lives. And another reason people watch them, of course, is group bonding. I mean, going with a group of people and everyone screaming and covering each other's eyes is a real group bonding experience. And maybe some of us meet that need in other ways other than by going to these terrifying terrifier films which appear to be coming.
Okay, so it obviously doesn't appeal to everybody, but we were talking with Sarah there about why some people are drawn to horror. Is there a risk of damage to your well-being by watching such gore?
Well, look, there's exceptionally little risk of damage to your well-being by watching this. It's not a great thing to be watching. It can change some people's ideas about what is acceptable or what isn't, or implicitly give, if you like, distorted versions of conflict resolution. But let's be honest, Adrian, most people are going for the adrenaline rush, the cathartic experience of seeing this, and then the psychological relief when it's over, the relief when it's sorted out, or at least the movie ends. I think very few people confuse this with reality. Obviously, if you watched these many times a day, every day, for weeks or months, that would be a very peculiar thing to do and mightn't be great, but it's not a psychological disorder or a mental illness. And for most people, this is a safe discharge of various psychological needs, particularly this sense of control, curiosity, and exploring taboos that are probably best explored by watching a film than by doing anything else you might have in mind.
So what is it then, finally, Brendan, that you don't like about horror movies? You must have seen one or two to make an opinion on it.
Yes. What I don't like is I don't like the suspense of them. I'm just not interested in them. I find them very repetitive, and maybe I'm not so good at letting go of reality and just going with the horror movies. I can go with other movies fine, but somehow this doesn't draw me in, and I never lose sight of the extraordinary ridiculousness of what's being shown.
You've just spoken exactly as I'm thinking. Brilliant. Great to talk to you, Brendan, psychiatrist Brendan Kelly, and also thanks to Sarah and Rory for joining us on the programme.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk.